As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's just before 5 a.m. on a Sunday. The location is a swinging casino in South Lake Tahoe. The shows have all ended and the crowds have died down to almost nothing. Beyond the chintzy, velveteen glamour and hurly-burl of floor shows, craps tables, the pits, there sprawls a vast network of kitchens, offices, storage, and custodial areas connected by bland, nondescript hallways and passages. Per state law, one such room on the dull end of the operation is a nurse's station.
It's into this fluorescent lit room that a nurse enters to begin her shift. What strikes her is not the presence of anything out of the ordinary, but rather its absence. She is there to relieve her counterpart from the night shift. Said counterpart is not in the office, however. A quick look into the logbook reveals something strange. At about 1:50 a.m., the other nurse had been writing a report about a gambler who had suffered a minor heart attack earlier that evening.
There's nothing out of the ordinary about that. But the report ended abruptly, with the pen's mark running down and then off the page mid-word. That nurse's name? Donna Lass, and she has been missing since 1970. And the case that surrounds her is as baffling as any, pulling into its orbit two of the most notorious criminals of the past two centuries, and exactly zero concrete answers.
Featuring Joe Sweeney from Thinking Sideways Podcast and filmmaker Vincent Caldoni, this is The Shocking Details.
Hey there. Welcome to another episode of The Shocking Details. I'm Joe, joined as always by
Vincent Caldoni.
And we have a shocking mystery. Of course, you probably figured that out already. Donna Lass, who vanished more than 50 years ago. Mm-hmm. And most people wonder aloud, and some people believe strongly, actually, that Donna is a victim of the infamous Zodiac Killer. Remember that guy, don't you?
Oh,
it's not without reason. We'll get to that. But what if, being a side note, in the case of an infamous killer, let the real killer walk away free for over 50 years? Yeah.
I think that's possible.
I do too, actually. Yeah.
But enough with the jibber jabber. Let's just talk about Donna Lass. Now, depressingly, if you want to learn about Donna's life, or even much beyond the very surface of her disappearance, that's actually a real challenge. See, her vanishing, her disappearance, and its connection to the Zodiac murders pretty dramatically eclipses the human behind the mystery. For someone like me, Donna is pretty unknowable.
Yeah, it's hard to find out much about her. Let's see, what do we know about Donna? She was from a good Midwestern family. She had grown up in a loving but very religious household. She was an excellent student, mostly A's, was considering taking her education beyond just nursing and perhaps even becoming a doctor, which, by the way, in 1970 was not as common as it is today for a woman. Yeah.
So the fiercely independent Donna cut her own way through life, and at 25, she was at a bit of a crossroads. She found herself single, not wanting to be pinned down by marriage and motherhood, but also unsure of where her future would take her. I imagine her feeling that she needed some time to think. She took a job at a casino, working as a nurse, long, dull hours on an overnight shift. The Sahara Hotel Casino in South Lake Tahoe was the place. And it was there, in the early morning hours of September 6th, 1970, that 25-year-old Donna Lass wrote her last partial log at just about 1:50 a.m. And that is the last time we can confirm her to have been alive or in one place or the other on this earth.
Later that Sunday, Donna was supposed to meet up with a friend who had driven up from San Francisco. Donna's friend couldn't find her at her apartment or anywhere around town, so she gave up and went back to San Francisco. She figured that maybe there'd been a miscommunication and didn't actually report anything to the police. She just figured, you know, stuff happens. Uh-huh. And remember, this is, of course, pre-cell phone days, 1970.
Yeah.
Hard to imagine if you're one of these young whippersnappers who hasn't grown up with a cell phone in his hand, you know. But there were times when you left home, you were out of touch unless you could find like a payphone, you know.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and then if you could find a payphone, it's not like you necessarily even get the other person if you didn't know where they were or how to do. Mm-hmm. Speaking of phones.
Yeah, I know. Speaking of phones, sorry about that.
But yeah, I mean, even if you got to a payphone, unless you knew like their work number or something, you wouldn't be able to get a hold of them. So
yeah. And by the way, you had to have a dime or later a quarter on you, too, if you wanted to make that phone call.
Here's where things start getting a little odd. The very next day, a man called Donna's work and her landlord. He didn't identify himself, but he said that Donna had a family emergency and that she would be away for a few days. Police would later discover that there was no family emergency. In fact, Donna's mother back home didn't even know there was anything wrong until she received a call from an unknown person, presumably that same man, who informed her that her daughter was missing in this kind of official tone that briefly led her to think that it may be the police, which it wasn't, until he hung up without warning, seemingly mid-conversation. Donna hadn't been reported missing by anyone at that point when the call was made. That's kind of chilling.
That is really weird. Yeah. I mean, especially if you're the kidnapper, which we, you know, kind of sort of assume this guy was.
Why do you call attention
to, you know, to this thing? I mean, let the trail get as cold as possible.
Right.
I mean, instead, this guy's saying, hey, he's actually sending up the alarm about her, it sounds like. I wouldn't think that's something you want to do. All right, no. So let's see. Let's continue here. September 8th, 1970. This is 12 days after Donna went missing. And this is 1970s police, right? The police finally go to her apartment. You can't necessarily blame them. I mean, it doesn't sound like anybody really even knew she was missing. I don't know.
No.
So, but anyway, the police finally get around to going to her apartment, which was about half a mile away from the casino in the town of Stateline, Nevada.
Yeah, it's really near South Lake Tahoe.
Yeah. Great name, too, by the way. I like that name. Mm-hmm. Yeah. They found her apartment locked, but when they got in, there were no signs of any struggle other than the kicked-in door that they just kicked in. But I'm just kidding.
I think the landlord got them in.
Oh, God damn it. That's no fun. But no signs of a struggle. Nothing was missing. Nothing out of the ordinary. Nothing. Yeah. Her car was found parked near the apartment building. It was locked. Showed no signs of disturbance. And it's as though Donna had left work and driven home, and she was kidnapped as she walked from her car to her apartment building. Almost, yeah.
Except for that last. That's kind of
what it looked like. That would be what it looked like, except what about that last cryptic entry in her log of work? This is where this is so weird.
It is, yeah.
Yeah.
So a full 6 months after Donna went missing, on March 22nd, 1971, a postcard was mailed to Paul Avery at the San Francisco Chronicle.
Yeah, that's a familiar name.
Yeah, Avery was a reporter and a columnist who worked for the San Francisco Chronicle, and he'd covered the Zodiac murders extensively and had been quote-unquote targeted by the Zodiac at different points. The Zodiac did not care for Paul Avery.
Yeah, so that's a guy I wouldn't want to be on the wrong side of. And by the way, just a little side note, who played Avery in the movie?
That was Robert Downey Jr.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Yes.
Zodiac. So we're talking about the 2007 film Zodiac. It's pretty famous, but if you haven't seen it and you're interested in anything related to this kind of like serial killer genre, you have to. It is an absolute classic.
It is a good movie. But oh, by the way, speaking of the Zodiac, you know, there's somebody out there, you know, who the hell is this Zodiac killer? You know, I'm wondering if that we could please give them an extremely quick detail of these infamous murders, which have been discussed at length for the last half century. You know, memorialized in multiple documentaries and Hollywood films, and God knows how many books. And I always say, screw you, go look it up. I mean, yeah. Right?
Do you even true crime, bro?
Yeah, I know. I don't know. Should we tell these guys anything?
Yeah, I guess we got to do it. It's like one of those weird things where, like, you're doing a podcast and you have to explain something that you're pretty sure everyone you're talking to knows. But just so we're all on the same page, the Zodiac is suspected of killing at least 5 people between December 1968 and October 1969 in Northern California. Mm-hmm. But maybe a lot before that and a lot after, and maybe in Southern California and other places too. And maybe he didn't actually do all those murders, but just took credit for them. Or maybe he was like a bunch of people. The point is, No one ever caught the guy or guys or whatever in the case. And it's still endlessly debated into pulp on podcasts, and websites, and forums to this very day. I mean, it really is a popular topic. Now, the Zodiac was famous for sending these cryptic letters to newspapers in the areas where he committed his murders.
That is my opinion. The reason he is, you know, lastingly famous, just like Jack the Ripper and his letters to the editor, you know, it's like that is it, you know. Otherwise, people like this are kind of a dime a dozen, you know.
So one of the dudes that he liked to write his little messed up letters and ciphers to was named Paul Avery from the San Francisco Chronicle.
Mm-hmm. Guy who looks exactly like Robert Downey Jr. Yeah.
He didn't actually look that much like him.
No. The postcard set that was sent to Paul Avery was made from an illustration from a flyer for a condominium development. And the condos are, and yeah, they're still there, called Forest Pines. And they're located in Incline, Nevada. I love these names, like State Line and Incline. Mm-hmm. Great name. Incline is across Lake Tahoe from State Line, Nevada, where Donna was probably, we assume, kidnapped.
Right.
So the postcard, and that's, if you call it that, has 5 phrases made up of words cut from magazines and newspapers and pasted onto the postcard in the classic true crime fashion.
Sort of.
Let's see. Phrases. Quote, Sierra Club saw it, unquote.
Victim 12.
Unquote. Also, peeked through the pines, unquote.
Past Lake Tahoe areas.
And lastly, quote, around in the snow, unquote. Which, by the way, is pasted upside down relative to all the other stuff. See, there's also a hole punched in the top right-hand corner of the card. And
in the bottom right-hand corner, there's that exact symbol that the Zodiac used to use to sign his letters.
Yeah, like a crosshairs.
Yeah, kind of.
Yeah. But the postcard never mentions Donna Lass by name.
Right.
But of course, a lot of people have, you know, immediately rushed to connect any case to this cryptic letter, postcard, whatever you call it.
Right. And since there were several references to Lake Tahoe, which is where Donna worked and lived in that area, some investigators believe that the postcard is the Zodiac taking credit obliquely for her murder.
Yeah.
Some believe that it's a clue to where her body is located. Actually, there's at least one YouTube channel devoted to this, and the dude is prolific. Good luck trying to watch all of his videos. He's really sure he knows the area and that it's somehow in the card.
He knows the area where precisely.
Oh, yeah. He'll go watch videos of him going to this spot that he thinks she's buried. But
where is this spot?
Somewhere out in Lake Tahoe.
Really? Yep. That's interesting. Actually, I have a belief myself about where her body is buried, but I'll tell you guys that later.
Yeah, we'll hit that in the theories.
Yeah.
Despite these claims and lots of research, Donna Lass's body has never been found. And really, honestly, nothing conclusive has ever connected that card to, well, really anything, much less the disappearance of Donna Lass.
I have no idea how many crank letters and postcards Paul Avery was getting around that time.
Apparently tons.
Yeah, I could imagine. In fact, you know, I might have said a few myself. I don't remember now. But no, I was just a kid. Let's see, another possible clue arrived in the mail 4 years later after Donna went missing. Well, this was on December 27th, 1974. Donna's sister, Mary Pilger, in North Dakota, found an envelope in her mailbox one day. Well, that day was the 27th, but the postmark on the envelope was San Francisco, California. And in the envelope was a Christmas card with a winter scene of pine trees against a blue background. Inside the card, it reads holiday greetings and best wishes for a happy new year. The usual, that was printed in the card. But then there's a handwritten inscription which reads, quote, best wishes, St. Donna and guardian of the pines, unquote. So repeat that. Best wishes, St. Donna and guardian of the pines, unquote. So, and this is weird enough that that Mary Pilger turned the card over to police, but again, nothing conclusive was ever made out of this. So, I mean, I assume they looked for fingerprints and the usual stuff, handwriting analysis, whatever, but nothing dead end. But that's interesting, though. I mean, she disappears. So we've got, at least three mysterious phone calls, and then the letter to Paul Avery. And then this Christmas card to Mary, the sister.
Yeah. But nothing else. It really goes very cold after that.
Yeah.
And really until people started getting more interested in, you know, sort of rehashing the Zodiac cases after Robert Graysmith published his book in the 80s called Zodiac Unmasked. This case was not a big deal. It was not covered a lot in the media, even locally. It did get some coverage, but it wasn't that big a deal. So this is, and it's really only been the last few years that, you know, zodiacologists have kind of unearthed this story.
Yeah. Yeah. So, that's why we got to talk about it, I guess. But, But before we can dive into all of the, all of our many theories surrounding this, I think it's time to hear from some sponsors.
I'm with you on that.
Yeah. Okay.
So let's do it. We'll
be back.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
And we're back. All right. So in this particular week's episode, our theory section, I think, is going to be a little longer than the story itself, because the story itself, there's not a lot to tell.
Yeah.
Just, like I said, a few tantalizing messages in the mail and some phone calls. Yeah. Let's not forget her last peculiar inscription in her logbook at work.
Mm-hmm. You got to admit, that's a very strange thing.
It is. Okay. So let's see. You got a favorite theory, Vincent?
I do, but I'm not going to swing at it right away. So I think we should start out with the one that's kind of on everyone's mind, which is the Zodiac killer.
Zodi. Yeah, that's right. Okay. Plenty of people who are invested in this case think that this is a really legit Zodiac killing. I don't know. I'm not as convinced about it. How about you?
Not as convinced, but I do think that there are some interesting details that would make you scratch your head and wonder.
Yeah, such as what?
The primary way that Donna Lass is connected to the Zodiac, aside from the postcard to Paul Avery, which is probably the main one,
Yeah.
Would, and I can't totally make heads or tails of this, but apparently, and this is hard to source out, she knew in some way one of the primary suspects in people's minds, a man named Lawrence Kane.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Kane is considered a suspect for several reasons. He studied cryptology, making ciphers and things like that while he served in the Navy in 1962. Kane suffered a head injury in a car accident, and supposedly this impaired his ability to control his impulses. He was arrested for doing like peeping Tom perv type stuff. And he seemed to be kind of out of his mind ever after that. He'd done some prowling and break-ins and stuff.
But here's something kind of wild, though. The sister of Darlene Farron, who was a known Zodiac victim, canonical, right? Mm-hmm. She saw a photograph of Kane and said she recognized him, which is a good reason to, you know, for him to be a suspect in Zodiac, right? So Darlene Farron worked at a restaurant. Her sister said that the man in the photograph had harassed her at work before she died. Kane even lived close, confirmed Zodiac victim, who was Paul Stein, the cab driver, picked up the fare, which would turn out to be his last fare ever.
Yeah.
So Kane, that was another reason to consider Kane a possibility. Mm-hmm. But that's interesting, especially that part. Keep in mind that part about how this guy who looked like Paul Kane, probably was Paul Kane, was sort of being a little bit stalkery towards Darlene, who died.
Yeah.
At the hands of the Zodiac. An officer who was near the Stein crime scene said that they saw a man who looked like Kane walking away. This is Stein, the cab driver who was shot.
Right.
This is talked about a lot, actually, because they saw this guy and they just didn't think anything of it. And they caught a little bit of grief for it later.
But they did.
They sure did. But they saw a man who looked like Kane walking away from the crime scene after Paul Stein was killed in his cab. Later that exact same year, Kane moved to South Lake Tahoe, of all places, and he worked in a real estate office down the hallway from the first aid station where Donna Lass was and where she was last seen alive.
Yeah. I mean, that's circumstantial, but boy, it sure is convincing.
Yeah.
It's very...
I don't know about convincing, but it's eyebrow raising at the very least.
Yeah, for sure, right?
Yeah.
Lawrence Kane was never charged with any crimes connected with the Zodiac. He died in 2010. I think Kane is a fascinating suspect for the Zodiac, and without going too far into it, there are some problems confirming him as the actual Zodiac killer. For one, there's no evidence. There's no physical evidence like DNA or fingerprints. Yeah. They think they might have those for the Zodiac. And those haven't connected him directly to the Zodiac killings. You know, really, when you get down to it, there really isn't anything other than some biographical connections to pin him as the Zodiac.
You know, as far as the coincidence of him being near wherever, maybe actually Zodiac actually just picked him at random or picked him because he didn't like him personally or something. Right. And just chose to, you know, just sort of commit murders near wherever he was so that he'd be a suspect. You know, so that's possible too. Possible the guy's totally innocent. Maybe he's a victim in all this. But in the past year though, because Zodiac is still alive, he's kind of like D.B. Cooper, you know, it just won't die. But in the last year, a prominent Moroccan scholar concluded that the key to some of Zodiac's indecipherable letters, and you've all seen pictures.
Right. So some have been deciphered. Some are seemingly impossible to decipher.
The key, he believes, would be something like Z23, which is actually, in my opinion, an impermissibly short key for a cipher. But, you know, okay.
If you used that as the key, you could, he said his name would be in there somewhere and it wasn't. But if you use that as the key, if you use Z23, I don't totally get how this logic goes because I couldn't really figure it out. But then, but if you use Z23 as the cipher, then allegedly that reveals the name. Which would be K or Kane.
That's interesting. I don't know. I'll have to. I mean, you did actually more research on this than I did. So, you know, I'm not actually up in precisely what this guy's theory was. It's interesting. But Kane, okay, or Kay. But then again, that doesn't prove anything about him either. Because, again, even if the word Kane or the name Kane is in there, if by my previous hypothesis that perhaps the I wanted to say Scorpio. I was watching Dirty Harry just a couple of nights ago. Yeah. And as you know, there's the serial killer Scorpio in that movie.
Oh, I know it very well.
Yeah, based, of course, upon Zodiac.
Yes. I know. I've seen that movie a bunch, and they even reference it in the Zodiac movie.
Yeah, they did. That was awesome. Let's see. What else have we got here? Another interesting point. Actually, you want to take this one?
No, why don't you take this one? I'll take the next paragraph.
Oh, okay. And we're talking still about Darlene, right?
Yeah. No. Now we're talking about Donna.
Oh, okay. Okay. All right. Now, back to Donna for a second. Here's another interesting connection to Zodiac, though, because this is what we're talking about here. It's not just Cain or anything like that. We're talking about the Zodiac and the connection to her. On the day that Donna disappeared, there's an alternative to the Gregorian calendar, which is the moon calendar, right? Mm-hmm. So I don't know who figured this particular one out, but it is an interesting thing.
It is.
Yeah. So the moon calendar, you know, as you all know, the moon's lunar cycle is 28 days. That's how long it takes the moon to go around the earth. So the moon calendar still has 7-day weeks, just like we have now, but the months are all 28 days. Mm-hmm. And this is kind of closer to the way people ordered their days and months before. I don't know exactly when the number 13 became considered unlucky and was taboo, or at least not spoken. And, you know, you didn't name floors or, you know, anything else mm-hmm. after them. And you didn't want to have 13 friggin' months in the year.
No.
So they did away with a month and spread those days around between the other months. So we've only got one 28 day month now. And even it's not 28 days all the time.
Nope.
But yeah, names of the days of the week were also different. So the 1st, 8th, and 15th and the 22nd days of the month. So that's, you know, every 7, right? You know, add 7.
Right.
Yeah. In the moon calendar, they're called Dali, D-A-L-I, like Dalai Lama. Mm-hmm. So Donna last went missing on September 6th, which is Dali in the moon calendar.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Okay.
Yeah.
And all 5 of the Zodiac, this is the canonical ones, you know, the confirmed ones, they were also killed on Dali. Mm-hmm. All of them were. Donna goes missing on that same day. So I did not work up the odds on this. Somebody did.
I didn't either. I got it off the internet, so hopefully I'm not too far off.
It's
got
to be true. So the odds that all 6 murders happened on Dali is 1 in 20,000.
Yeah.
So either a coincidence or maybe it was Zodi. I don't know.
It's kind of interesting. I mean, it is It's pretty wild.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So and actually when you think about it, it's like what's to say that Zodiac wasn't just having a little vacation over in Tahoe, doing a little gambling or skiing mm-hmm. or whatever he was up to, and spotted Donna Lass and just decided, hey, what the hell? I'm a serial killer. I'm going to have a little fun while I'm here.
I guess you could say that one problem with the theory, though, is that, you know, her disappearance doesn't really fit the Zodiac's pattern or pathology at all.
Not really.
Notably, none of his confirmed victims were kidnapped or like taken to another location.
Yeah.
Their bodies were also found with zero attempt to hide the corpse. Rather the opposite. He seemed to want the cops or people to find them and know what he did.
Yeah. Yeah.
Why, you know, Zodiac was kind of in it for the publicity and the notoriety. Why would he hide her so well? It doesn't totally make sense.
No.
Unfortunately, we may never know with any certainty if Donna Lass was killed by the Zodiac. I mean, I'm a little doubtful. Not really doubtful as much as I think the Zodiac thing may be a little bit of a red herring.
It's probably somebody else trying to make it look like Zodiac did it.
Oh, yeah.
Take the heat off of him, whoever he was.
Exactly.
Or she.
You know, it's not to say that Donna couldn't be a victim of the Zodiac, but the thing with the Zodiac is that he really liked taking credit for these things. And we know that he tried to take credit for crimes that even the most sort of generous of researcher can't connect him to and have a murder score or whatever you want to call it, a death rate in the 30s or something like that. Like, we don't think he did any of these. And we don't really think he was, you know, responsible for all these different murders. Moreover, yeah. One of the things we do know is that at least one criminal at the time attempted to pin his crimes on the notorious killer by writing a fake letter.
Yeah, it would make sense. Good, like you say, red herring. Mm-hmm. So yeah, Kane seems to be, you know, a reasonable suspect, but that doesn't mean he's Zodiac or was Zodiac.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. So and as far as he's so, even if there was a Donald S. Kane connection, that doesn't, you know, mean there's a Zodiac connection here. But
exactly.
Yeah. So I'm with you. I just really doubt the Zodiac thing.
Again. It just doesn't seem like Zodiac. I'm in my head. I'm trying to figure out why he would do that way.
Well, yeah, the thing about abducting people and then disposing of the body is it actually really raises the risk.
It's true.
Yeah. Getting caught with a dead body is kind of incriminating. Whereas if you kill somebody and then just,
or evidence of having had a dead body, like in your car or something, like that's
absolutely. Scary. Absolutely, yeah, all that stuff. And so, and I think the Zodiac was sensible in that regard. He just killed people and walked away, you know? Mm-hmm. I think that's the way to go, personally. All right, so much for that one. I'm going to give it a thumbs down to Zodi on this one. Yeah.
So we're going to go move on to the second theory.
Yeah.
And that's, it was Garrido.
Garrido.
Garrido, not Greedo from Star Wars.
Yeah. So Garrido.
One person that has been suspected in the disappearance of Donna Lass is Philip Garrido.
Yeah.
That name may sound familiar to you or maybe not, but let's just say he is a real piece of work. He was born in California, and by 1970, he would have been 19 years old, and he'd moved to Reno, Nevada, which is less than 60 miles away from where Donna worked. He moved there, you know, right in that time when Donna Lass disappeared. So it could be a coincidence. You got to know that Philip Garrido committed a crime that got him in trouble before committing his crime later in life. 6 years after that, so this would be 1976, Philip kidnapped a worker from a casino in South Lake Tahoe.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah. So this is the same town that Donna Lass went missing from. Who was, get this, she was 25 years old. And had the
just
same
like
Donna. Color hair and eyes as Donna Lass. Garrido had this abandoned warehouse that he was using as a recording studio for his super awesome Christian rock that he was making. This would be in Reno. And he'd set the joint up with a shag carpet, a movie projector with some sexy movies, wine, and porno magazines.
This sounds really groovy. This sounds like something out of an Austin Powers movie.
Oh, God. Yeah, it's just what every girl wants when she's been violently kidnapped by a psychopath.
Over the course of 5.5 hours, he sexually assaulted this woman. The main problem, of course, there were witnesses to the abduction. So an APB went out, somebody actually had her car description, her license number and everything. That went out with the APB. Police officer on patrol happened to see her car near the warehouse where she was being held and raped. And he saw that the lock on the door appeared to be broken, which, you know, raised his suspicions just a little bit. Mm-hmm. So he starts banging on the door, and Philip Garrido opens the door, presumably attending to like sort of smooth talk the officer. He did the usual thing, you know, he told the woman not to scream when he opened the door. But she ignored him and started screaming when he opened the door. Good for her.
Yeah, right.
And yes. Garrido was immediately arrested. He was convicted of kidnapping and transporting his victim over a state line, which, by the way, strikes me as a little unfair because, I mean, it's hard to go anywhere in Tahoe without crossing a state line, frankly. I don't know.
My heart goes out to Philip Garrido.
Yeah, I don't care if it's unfair. Screw him.
Yeah. I mean, I know what you mean, but seriously.
Yeah, well, I know. I'm just kidding. Yeah.
So while he's in prison, he meets Nancy Buckner, who was visiting her uncle, who was also a sex criminal. And they started a relationship, not Nancy and her uncle. It was Nancy and Philip. This is in October.
I know we said it before. What's with these women that want to, like, you know, that fall in love with convicts, especially rapists, you know, like this? What the hell?
She went to visit her sex pervert uncle in jail, and then while she was there, met the man of her dreams.
Maybe her dad and all her male relatives were all sex perverts, and that was, you know,
I don't know. That's just what she was. I don't know. She's a real piece of wood too. Anyway, so
she is. Yeah,
while Philip was still in prison, they got married, which is so cute. Philip was paroled in 1988, and then he and Nancy moved in with his mother, of course, in Antioch, California. So things were looking, you know, real good for these lovebirds.
But then things got even more. You could say things, you could say but, or you could say, and oh boy. Because on June 10th, 1991, Philip and Nancy kidnapped themselves, a nice little 11-year-old girl, J.C. Dugard, as she walked to school in Myers, California. Just south of Lake Tahoe. Actually, it's just south of South Lake Tahoe, as a matter of fact.
Yes.
So it's in the Tony suburb of South Lake Tahoe. How's that sound? So they took her back to their home. I assume they were still living with her mother at that time, right?
Yes.
It was his mother.
I'm not sure if she was still alive. I'm not really sure. Right. She's not alive anymore. I believe she's passed. I don't know when that happened.
Okay. Yeah. Anyway, but they take her back home and they held her for years. I mean, like many years. She was mostly kept in a makeshift soundproof room. And also she spent time in tents and sheds in the backyard where, of course, Philip Carrillo, nice guy, would rape and abuse her over and over for years. And of course, Nancy, the wife, was of course complicit in all these crimes, right? Mm-hmm. And she actually helped, besides kidnapping JC, she attempted to help kidnap another girl. I don't know. It's like, this was, I think, less than a year after JC's kidnapping.
Yeah.
So they already had this JC, poor little JC at home, and they decided to, like, you know, try to grab another one.
Nancy filmed herself luring the girl into a van and having her do splits and dances for her to show Philip Garrido.
These are horrible.
JC suffered years of horrifying, traumatizing physical, mental, and sexual abuse. She also gave birth to two daughters without any medical supervision right there in the backyard. One was born when she was 14, and her second daughter was born when she was 17. Her daughters were forced to live in the backyard with her, you know, in basically absolute squalor, on August 24th, 2009.
This is 18 years, right, after the initial kidnapping? 18
years, yeah.
God.
The two daughters they had with JC went to the campus of UC Berkeley with Philip, and they wanted to talk to a university official about holding religious services on campus because Philip Garrido was a good Christian and he liked to go out and evangelize on behalf of the Lord.
Oh, for Christ's sake.
Literally. Mm. The university official thought that the trio was acting strangely. He was concerned for the little girls, so he contacted police.
I guess that was the jig was up.
Right.
So, by the way, this whole time that he was, holding this girl prisoner and raping her and getting her pregnant and everything, he was apparently still on parole for the kidnapping of the casino worker in 1976. Police spoke with his parole officer, and the parole officer, for his part, was amazed to learn that Philip had kids. Obviously he was really truly doing his due diligence, right? Sounds like the guy was kind of phoning it in, I think.
I think so.
Parole officer calls Philip in for an interview, and he brings JC and their two daughters. And then JC says that her name is Alyssa and that her daughters were relatives. But after a little prodding, Philip finally confessed. Yeah, Philip confesses to kidnapping JC. And Philip and Nancy were arrested. And JC, luckily for her, after 18 years in captivity, she was finally freed and reunited with her family. But I just want to pause
right here. And I have a story I'm dying to tell.
Well, did you do the same thing here? I was like, oh,
yeah.
Actually, are you sure you want to confess to this? But no, just kidding.
Yes, I am being held against my will.
Not by me, I swear.
So the day that this happened, so this would be August 24th, 2009, I guess, I was buying running shoes.
You were?
I was in a store And the guy was, there was only one shoe salesman there and he was no help. And he was just watching the TV. When I kind of finally distracted him for a minute, he told me he's from Phillips, California, where JC was from, was a few years younger than her. And he said, growing up, his older brothers and their friends said they knew about JC Dugard and that sometimes they would go by Philip Garrido's house and see her in the backyard and that she'd even talk to them a few times, but that it had become a secret, or not a secret, but a thing known among children of a certain age in that village that that she was there, but none of the adults believed them. That is, this is the testimony of a random shoe salesman, but that is what he told me.
Oh my God. That just makes it that much worse in a way, you know, it's like,
Well, and then I pulled a Joe not long after that, and I went on Google Maps and I found Philip Garrido's house, and there's something to what he's saying. The fence. So in the Google Street View, you can see his house, or at least this is the version of Google Street View they had in 2009. You could see the fence, and on a dirt road on, I think it's the south side of the property, but don't hold me to that. The fence was actually pretty low, and it's a cyclone fence that you absolutely could see into the backyard through. So if they were walking through that, they would have, and she was out, they would have been able to see her.
That's so weird. You know, the, I mean, why didn't she escape? Why didn't she just, you know?
I haven't read her book, but apparently she did make some attempts. But by the time she had her kids, she was very worried about leaving them behind.
Yeah.
He would do.
Yeah.
He held that over her, I believe.
Ah, geez. Anyway, that guy, you know, I mean, he ruined that poor kid's life. He should get the death penalty based on that, don't you think?
Seriously. Not the biggest fan of the death penalty, but to the degree which they do that, I'd say he's a good candidate.
He'd be right up near the top. Yeah, it's what he did is just beyond unconscionable. But anyway, quickly on with the story here. So even though Philip Garrido had been on parole the entire time that JC was in captivity, and parole officers had been to the Garrido's house 60 times reportedly, none of them had actually done even a cursory search of his property. Because if they had, they would have found evidence of JC and her two daughters living in the backyard. Mm-hmm. So Philip Garrido got 431 years in prison. Nancy, the wife, got 36 years. that's okay with me if she got 36, as long as she serves all 36 years. Because, I mean, she was guilty of sin, too.
You know, I mean, I'm not, I don't even really get the point of sentencing someone to, I mean, you just put them away forever, 431 years, whatever. I don't think she's going to make it 36 years in prison, but I sure do hope she never gets paroled. And I think sometimes women in these situations have a, I don't know if it's a cultural or a judicial or whatever, they kind of tend to play the victim and not be sentenced. That's why I think some of her actions are relevant here, like her grooming other girls, being literally present at the time of JC's kidnapping. She can try to say she didn't know what was going on in the backyard, but I think she does know where babies come from. So she must have had some.
I know, right? Anyway, but you're probably wondering what this has to do with, you know, again, let's come back to Donna Lass. Did Philip Garrido kidnap Donna Lass? I don't know. What do you think?
Well, I think it's possible. I'm not sold on it necessarily, but Garrido kidnapped a casino employee who was young and was a light brunette, had even similar eye color to Donna Lass.
Yeah, 6 years, age. But...
exact same age. Yeah.
Yeah.
After Donna disappeared. Now, Garrido isn't a known murderer. So the premise is, I suppose, that something just must have went wrong with Donna Lass. She fought back or something like that and he killed her.
Uh-huh.
Maybe tried to drug her. I'm not really sure, but he didn't. He never has confessed anything like that. But people wonder aloud if maybe this was a dry run at the type of kidnapping he tried in 1976. Because he would have been there, like Kane, he would have been in the town at the same time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but the thing about it it seems like the notes weren't really his style. But then,
no, he never did anything like that. He never tormented the press.
You know, then again, on the other hand, maybe he did write the notes and it didn't really get him anywhere one way or the other.
He got bored.
And next time around, he just decided, you know, why bother with the friggin' notes and the phone calls and all that stuff. So, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Hey.
So if Garrido didn't send the letters to Avery, who did?
Yeah.
Well, see, here's the thing with the postcard. It didn't actually look that much like other known Zodiac communications. and the author even misspelled Paul Avery's name as Averly, which is something the Zodiac never did.
Zodiac should have known his name above all else, right?
You'd think Zodiac knew. You'd think
Zodiac would have known his name.
There's a whole
well.
Thing where like Avery liked to taunt the Zodiac in his column.
Yeah.
And the Zodiac it got under his skin. And so the Zodiac, I think it's spell Avery. And as we've said, there were many fake letters sent to Paul Avery. Some people have said that the letters talking about Saint Donna and Guardian of the Pines is kind of sounds like the way that Garrido talks. So I don't know.
I don't know about that either. How can anybody say that that sounds like how he talks? I don't know.
Well, I don't know. Okay. So the reason why this is what I believe, and I could not find direct quotes, but Garrido was a prolific poet and songwriter. As well as a street preacher. and apparently
he was, what do we call a Renaissance man?
He was quite a piece of work. Yeah, apparently people said that Saint Donna and Guardians and Guardian of the Pines could be like the title of one of his little hymns or whatever.
Yeah, I see. Okay. But still, I don't know. That's pretty thin.
It is pretty thin. The biggest problem I have with it, like I think it's really interesting the whole thing about that, you know, it was a casino employee from I believe she was like a cocktail waitress, but I've actually only seen her just described that she worked at the casino that he kidnapped. That the MO sounds so similar, right? Those two crimes. And obviously dude liked kidnapping women. I think the thing with Donna Lass is that Donna Lass, he would have been 19 when Donna Lass went missing, 19 or 20. And that's arguably, I've seen pictures of him. Boy, he was a little skinny guy back then. And I kind of wonder if he'd go after a full grown woman who might honestly be able to take him. I don't know.
Yeah, she's a Midwestern girl. She probably could kick his butt. Yeah.
Yeah. But then I guess now I just argued my own point that maybe Donna was more than he could handle. And that ended up in her death.
Yeah. So and he just pulls out the knife or the blunt object or whatever, and
he's just trying to subdue her. I think this one's actually even thinner than the Zodiac one, but I do think one of the things I've enjoyed about this research was thinking outside of the Zodiac must have done it thing, and it is interesting that there is another notorious kidnapper who was there at the time, and we know he kidnapped another casino worker.
Yeah, so, but the other one that he kidnapped though was a highly visible one, a waitress, right? Yeah, most people are not going to see the in-house nurse at the casino.
Pretty interesting. I will say that I don't know what she did all day, but people did see her, and that'll factor into theory three. Yeah,
yeah,
she didn't just hide in that office all the time.
Well, there's another possibility before we get to theory three about what if she disappeared herself?
I mean, I considered putting that in there.
Yeah.
Ran off to start a new life is required on this podcast.
Absolutely. So as for a little dramatic flourish, she leaves in the middle of her shift as she's writing a little entry, and then goes across the page, you know, it's like that thing in the castle, you know, the castle Arg and Monty Python and the Holy Grail. So she adds this little flourish in there, you know, and then just vanishes and arranges for the phone calls and the letters and stuff like that.
Never touches her social security number or her bank account or anything else.
Yeah. Again, makes no sense. The problem with the whole thing, it makes no sense for her to do that. So anyway, but we have to throw that one out there, right?
Yeah. Throw it in there. It does come out there.
Yeah. What do we got for another theory though? You've titled this theory, Some Creep.
Creep. Unfortunately, I was not able to independently verify a lot about this, but Zodiacologist Mike Morford, who does a podcast on the Zodiac and runs the definitive Zodiac webpage out there, in my opinion, dude as well. He has made the statement that cops talked to other casino employees who'd seen a regular at the casino who seemed kind of maybe like a little stalkery, a little obsessed with Donna, and then he would hang around this first aid station and, you know, chat her up.
Uh-huh.
Now, this leads me to a theory that, I don't know, that kind of got my brain thinking.
Yeah.
Could break a couple of ways, right?
Yeah.
First, could this dude have killed her and then written the letter to try to throw police off the case?
Yeah, make them think it was Zodiac. Yeah,
exactly. Could the killer have been the actual Zodiac killer.
Yeah, like I was saying, maybe. Maybe he was on vacation in Tahoe.
Yeah. I don't think it's impossible the Zodiac would want to go gamble and see the sights in Tahoe. It's a beautiful place. Or if it was Kane, I suppose that could make sense. But again, there's not that much evidence that he was, just really circumstantial stuff. But maybe it was just one of the many hoaxes that were sent to one Paul Averly over the years. We don't really know who sent that letter. There's not a lot of good information on it. Some people think it was actually the lead detective in the case.
Oh, really? The lead detective in the Zodiac case?
Yes.
You're talking about, that Dave Toshi. That's the guy that was played by Mark Ruffalo.
He's Ruffalo, yeah. And he also was the inspiration for Steve McQueen's Bullet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Another classic.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Oh, yeah. Dave Toshi, he really was kind of the man. I think he's a really fascinating figure in 20th century crime lore.
Yeah.
He was one of the lead investigators in the case, but he was actually taken off the Zodiac case in quite a bit later. I want to say like 78 or something like that. After it's discovered that he was sending anonymous letters to a Chronicle reporter.
Yeah, to Avery, wasn't it?
Avery and then... There was another one as well. Amistad Maupin, I believe.
He got caught that he was just tweaking them, right?
Yeah. So he claimed that the letters... He made a pretty good case. The letters were part of something that they'd been doing, sending each other letters back and forth, in which he would write in the Zodiac voice, and that it was all just a joke. I think this is probably pretty clear. I tend to believe Dave Toshi that he was not trying to get people to think he was a Zodiac, especially when you read the Toshi letter, the one that got him in so much trouble. It's pretty ridiculous. It doesn't sound like the Zodiac, and it's all about like, that guy Toshi sure is cool. That's me arguing for Dave Toshi. Some people think that he's kind of a slime ball for that. That's apparently they were just kind of riffing, and that apparently they were even talking about writing a Zodiac movie together at some point, and this was part of the creative process. The other kind of nail in this coffin is the Zodiac letters that Toshi did write don't resemble the postcard in any way. They weren't postcards. They were letters. They didn't have any of this cryptic shit in it. Cryptic stuff in it. Toshi died in January of 2018, and he was honest about his life and his career and never claimed to have any hand in the postcard. So he did take some, he admitted to sending those letters. He just said it wasn't meant the way that it was interpreted by the columnists. I think that if that letter was one of his, I think he would have.
Oh, the letter. The postcard that was written on the flyer for the condos. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
So basically my theory that works out like this, and this is, I'm not even saying I believe this one the most, but I just want to run this by you a little bit. Right.
Yeah.
What if there was just some creep, just a regular old creep, not a serial killer necessarily, that stalked and eventually ended up killing poor Donna Lass, and then either wrote a fake Zodiac letter to try and throw people off the scent, or just got lucky and some hoaxer wrote a letter that had something to do with Lake Tahoe, and then, you know, that kind of covered his tracks for him. So you have all these people who are making these, you know, obscure connections to the things in the letter or in the, on the postcard, right? And what it means and what it could possibly mean, and trying to interpret it to find the location of her body. The thing doesn't say anything about Donna Lass.
Well, it doesn't. It doesn't, but the thing about it is that there is a connection between the Christmas card and the letter. Okay. I mean, you see that, right?
Right, with the pines.
Yeah, the pines, right? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So you see that. So, you know, I mean, it's entirely possible. It seems to me very likely that the postcard to Avery was connected to Donna.
Mm-hmm.
Seems very likely to me.
Okay.
You know, and
I'm less sold on that, but okay.
Yeah. And I would say that it wasn't probably some random creep off the street, because I would think that abducting someone, an employee, especially a woman, out of a casino would be difficult. They've got a lot of security. It wouldn't be that easy. Mm-hmm. Unless, of course, maybe unless the abductor was actually casino security himself, which would facilitate the crime a little bit.
That would be interesting. Yeah. I believe the guy is thought to have been a gambler and quite a bit older than any of the other suspects, like Philip Garrido or Lawrence Kane.
Yeah. But, you know, again, just because the guy had, was interested in her doesn't mean anything. There's a lot of guys, especially when they're drunk, that make Google eyes at women. You know, it's just, you know, and even maybe act a little stalkery or whatever.
Exactly.
It doesn't, you know.
I'm not trying to be too silly here, but she did wear a nurse uniform, a tight fitting mid-century nurse uniform. You could see some weird, creepy guys being into that.
Yeah, so I would look more at a casino employee rather than a gambler, somebody in security. It could have been somebody who gets. Here's the other thing: if you are stalking somebody, it doesn't make any sense at all to try to kidnap them out of a casino.
Oh, it's like the worst place.
It makes no sense. And let's not forget, you're a stalkery kind of guy, right? You've got your eyes on this girl. You're watching her. You know when she leaves work. Mm-hmm. You followed her home. You know where she lives. Wouldn't you kidnap her there? Okay, maybe that's where it happened. But then how does that explain the entry in her diary?
Her log.
I'm sorry, but how does that explain that log entry? And of course, you know, if you're a casino worker and you get off at roughly the same time as her, why not just follow her home and abduct her, sneak back into the casino a little later, and and make that weird long mark in her journal or log? You could do something like that, I guess. Yeah. I don't know. The whole thing is there's all many possibilities.
Definitely.
I do think that I would look, if I were looking for a body right now, and this is just, you know, purely spitballing. Mm-hmm. But the postcard or letter, however you want to call it, to Avery was written on a flyer for those condos. Mm-hmm. Hang on a second here. What were they called?
The Forest Pines.
Okay. And then, of course, there was a reference in that Christmas card 4 years later to Donna, the guardian of the pines, St. Donna. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so another reference to pines. And the mm-hmm. Forest Pines, I checked. I looked in the Washoe County assessor's webpage to try to find out when those condos were built. And they were built in 1971. Mm-hmm. Now, the way assessors look at that kind of thing is it's built in 1971 means the project was completed in 1971.
Right.
Project was begun, I'm guessing, in 1970 when Donna disappeared. So mm-hmm. if I were to hazard a guess as to where her body is, that's where I would look, is in the foundation of that condo project. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's
You are hardly the first person to come up with that. A lot of people think that she's underneath that building somewhere.
Yeah, I'm seriously thinking there might be a connection there, and. And it kind of makes sense. Okay, so you've disposed of her body, and so you want to send this little letter that somehow links Zodiac to her. And when they find the body, if they find the body, then at least you planted, if nothing else, you planted a germ of a seed of doubt in the jury's mind if you're being tried for it. Mm-hmm. Your lawyer's going to be hammering on that Zodiac connection really hard.
Right.
So you can't say reasonable doubt when it looks like the Zodiac did it. And so, you know, that's kind of where I'm thinking, though. That's I'm thinking she was abducted and murdered, and that's where her body is. Mm-hmm. But, you know, again, we won't know until we demolish that project and have a look see.
Exactly.
I don't know.
I think it's just as likely that Deuter, somebody just grabbed a random postcard off of a rack. Uh-huh. A casino in South Lake Tahoe and sent it in, or state line, uh-huh. or whatever.
Yeah, that's also possible. I don't know that the continuing references to pines and the name of that condo project really, and also even that would be a coincidence. Yeah. But again, given the year that it was built, really does make me wonder, perhaps that's where her body is. But anyway, who knows? And again, I'm thinking not random creepo gambler. I think it's somebody who worked at the casino, probably.
I think that's an interesting theory.
Yeah. Well, especially if you're like, say, security or whatever. Actually, that'd be the best thing. I mean, she's leaving work or needs to go to her car for whatever reason. You, being the nice gentlemanly security guard, offer to walk her out to her car. You know? So, yeah. And yeah. And so who's going to think twice about that?
Yeah. And so, I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I do think it's strange that they drove the car back to her house, but didn't appear to have even entered her home. Not sure what that's about, but it's interesting.
Well, you're getting rid of the car. I mean, the car was parked at the casino. Let's say you go and
people would notice.
Yeah, yeah. So you just your earliest possible convenience. You kidnapped her. You've got her car keys. You could just go grab the car and move it. Mm-hmm. You know, not that you don't need to go into her apartment. You probably don't want to because you might accidentally leave a fingerprint.
Oh yeah,
or be spotted by somebody. You know, and so mm-hmm. Just dump the car. In the middle of the night and be done with it. So anyway, that's where I'm at with her. It wasn't Zodiac. I think it was probably just a coworker at the casino.
But, yeah. I think it was probably more likely something like that. And I guess that's kind of my thing, I think that maybe I do kind of worry that all this, Zodiac connection or whatever has kind of muddied the waters about this poor woman's death.
Mm-hmm, probably. Yeah. Yeah, I think so too. Hey, silly Zodiac. I never actually gotten too deep into the Zodiac. It's like, my mystery of choices.
I've fallen down that rabbit hole so many times.
Okay.
All right. I think that wraps us up for the week.
I think that's about it. Yeah. So I don't know. Until next week. Well, how do they say goodbye in Tahoe? I say goodbye.
I think they just say goodbye. They say later.
Yeah. All right. So until next week. Goodbye. Ta-ta and all that stuff. And, by the way, before that, I almost forgot. Yeah, be sure to stay tuned to hear Tess talk about how to reach us via social media and email and all that good stuff. And of course, the usual plea to leave us a rating and a review, a good rating, a good review.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wherever fine podcasts are sold. Yeah.
Yeah. It really helps us to get more listeners and stuff like that. If you give us a good review, please do that.
Yeah. Sounds fair. Yeah. Okay.
All right. We'll see you next week.
Bye-bye.
The Shocking Details can be found at www.theshockingdetails.com. We're on Twitter @ShockingDetails. For discussion of episodes and more, our Facebook group is facebook.com/groups/ShockingDetailsPodcast/. Or you can email us at theshockingdetailspodcast@gmail.com. And if you like the podcast, please consider giving us a like and a positive review and letting people know about us.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful, fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.